child, it's the last mile you must trod. I'll fall asleep and wake in God's new heaven, sheltered safe.
Of safety that is, and more wonderful that we can understand it in such a personal, meaningful way. Shall we turn this morning to the third chapter of Colossians? Colossians 3. And let us begin with verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Then skip down to verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. This will be yet another message on the benefits of Jesus' name. As we read in verse 17, whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Our subject today is works. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do it unto in the name of the Lord. I want to notice, first of all, that what Paul writes here is almost identical to what he writes to the church at Ephesus. The fifth chapter, we'll not turn there, but Paul says in Ephesians 5, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he adds this verse, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Here in our text, we find the same thing with the added statement, wives, submit yourselves. This is no coincidence, nor is it an accident. It is important for us to realize that this subject of submission is a part of what he tells us here in verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Being subject and submissive in all of these ways that are listed here and in Ephesians are a part of coming in or doing these things in the name of the Lord. But today I want to emphasize the little word whatsoever here in verse 17. In other words, these comments are not just limited to the glorious teaching of submission. It just simply tells us how important that teaching is. Paul singled it out, submission, wives. He goes on into husbands, masters, servants. Submission is such an important part of our experience in the name of the Lord. It is a part of God's plan for us. And Paul emphasizes it here by singling it out in both of these texts. But we read, whatsoever you do. Whatsoever means whatsoever. It covers a wide spectrum. It covers everything that we would say or do in our world today. And so the incentive, the exhortation is, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. We have seen that that term means power. Saved in Jesus' name indicates the power necessary to bring us out of the death state into newness of life with Christ. But we've also discovered it means other things, as indeed in the name of Jesus means that we are to follow his example. We are to do it as he did. And that same thing is brought out here in this verse as we read, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. And so it is so important that we understand Jesus is the example of thanksgiving. Now, before we go on with that, I want to point out one more little tidbit here between verses 16 and 17. Verse 17 is a direct result of verse 16. Before we will be able to do these things in the name of Jesus, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We must receive, we must accept, we must adhere, we must appropriate the word of God in our own lives if we are going to follow the admonition of verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord. And again, we come as he did. And so I thought a little on this matter of Jesus giving thanks. We come in Jesus' name following the same pattern that he did. And Jesus did give thanks. We'll not turn to these. I'm sure you remember them. The sixth chapter of John. We've seen it recently, perhaps a number of times. He gave thanks before he fed the 5,000 with the five loaves and the two fishes. In the 11th chapter of John, just before he performed that great miracle, raising Lazarus from the dead, we find out that Jesus said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I knew that thou hearest me always. Giving thanks because ahead of time, he knows God is going to hear him. And then I love the one in Matthew 11. This is where Jesus was really contrasting him with the Pharisees and others and things of this nature and those that rejected him and the things concerning himself. He said this, I thank thee, O Father, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. Hast revealed them unto babes. This gives us an indication of what we should be thankful for. So often people are thankful for one thing or another, many times often just natural resources and blessings, and that's wonderful. But notice that Jesus was thanking the Lord for those that would understand deep revelations of truth. I say again, it tells a lot about our own character as to what we are thankful for. And then, just in passing, I must say, I wonder sometimes if some people are thankful for anything. We have had the experience of giving gifts and offerings and things of this nature to other people. I've heard the same report from others, giving gifts to different ones. Do you know that sometimes you never hear a word of thanks? That tells a lot about the character of the person that received the gift. We are instructed to have thankful hearts. I can guarantee you, if we do it in Jesus' name, we will have a grateful heart. And there's no substitute for it. And so it is important that we give thanks and that we really begin to ascertain and evaluate what we are really thankful for. And it should be the very highest blessings and richest spiritual blessings we have in Christ Jesus. Jesus gave thanks another time. John 13. This is after Judas has been revealed as the traitor. And Jesus says this: therefore, when he was gone, when Judas was out of the room there at the Last Supper, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself. Glorifying the Lord, or glorying in the Lord, really is the ultimate in giving thanks, in praise, in worship unto the Lord. And so it is so important that we put this scene in John 13 in context. When Jesus said, now shall the Son of Man be glorified, he is talking about God opening the door for him to go to the cross. And so the same thing is true in our own lives. If we are coming in Jesus' name and would give thanks or glorify the Lord, we read in another place, in everything give thanks. And that is something that we can, that we must learn. If we are going to come in Jesus' name, if we're going to, in word or deed, be in Jesus' name according to him, then we must also learn to give thanks in everything exactly as Jesus did. And then, as we read here again in verse 17 of our chapter, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Doing something in Jesus' name signifies that we are only his representative. It is not our agenda. If we are doing it in Jesus' name, we are doing it as though he would do it. We're simply representatives, and that becomes very important in our own lives. Jesus again sets the pattern for us. John 5:19 says it this way: the Son can do nothing of himself. Think of who he was, and yet he said the Son can do nothing of himself. He too was interested in God's agenda. He was just God's representative. He was the one whom God had sent. It was God's priority that was important unto him. So the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he does, these also the Son does likewise. Jesus gave us exactly the same instruction. You remember John 15, that wonderful discourse on the vine and the branches. And in the midst of that, Jesus said to his disciples, without me, you can do nothing. If we are going to do anything in word or in deed, it must be with his motivation. I want to emphasize that this has to be an attitude of heart. Sometimes we might be commended by someone. That's wonderful. Everyone loves a little encouragement, a little commendation. Pat on the back, so to speak. And it doesn't make any difference what we might say to that person or not say to that person. The point that we must do is evaluate our own heart attitude and really ask ourselves if we are giving credit to the Lord. Because that is what has to happen if we come in the name of the Lord. The credit has to go to Him. The glory has to go to Him. We must realize that He indeed is the one responsible for such words and deeds. Without me, you can do nothing. It must become more than just a cliche to us. It has to be a reality that we feel deep in our own experience. And so, I want to go further here in verse 17, as we find, we're doing all in the name of Jesus. Notice, giving thanks to God and the Father. Here we find degrees of growth in our experience. It is imperative for us that we come to the place where we give thanks not just unto God as God. That's necessary. It's important. It's a reality. That's where we begin, so to speak. That's where we acknowledge the superiority of God, as we have seen in these last few weeks and months and different messages and so forth. God is greater. Sometimes wonder about men as to how much they really understand and how much it really means to them to recognize God, referring Him to the man upstairs or the great one or something of this nature. There comes a day when men must absolutely acknowledge from the heart that God is God. There's no two ways about that. But there is something even greater for God's people. That's why Paul makes the distinction here, is that giving thanks to God and the Father. There are a multitude of Christians, I am persuaded, who do not have a revelation of the fatherhood of God. But Jesus, again, set that example. Jesus illustrates what the Father-Son relationship is all about. When we come in the name, truly in the name of Jesus, understanding that, we too will enter in to the Father-Son relationship rather than God's servant relationship, as so many in our day are partial to. Jesus, again, the example. At 12 years old, we remember those famous words that He said to His mother. Did you not know I must be about God's business? No, about my Father's business. Go through the scripture sometime for your own personal study. Just underline or mark how many times Jesus calls Him my Father. And He meant that exactly, my Father. It is a personal relationship that He claimed. He tells us to do exactly the same thing. After the resurrection, He said to Mary, go to my disciples and tell them, I go to my Father and your Father. Jesus expected them. He had already taught them the model prayer, our Father, which is in heaven. But when we come in a personal manner, it must be my Father that we are addressing, understanding that beautiful relationship there is between Father and Son. I say again, Jesus demonstrated that relationship over and over again in His own life. It means that we too, if we are going to come in Jesus' name, then we too must pursue the same freedom. Jesus had such a liberty with his Father. And there are people today that have such liberty in praying, in believing God, in coming to Him. There is nothing off limits to them. They have such freedom because they're coming to their Father. There's a boldness. We're instructed, come boldly to the throne of grace. Some people are tentative. Some people would look at themselves, oh, I'm not worthy. In Christ, we are worthy. When men do not see that worthiness, they are looking at themselves rather than Jesus. Amen. We must see ourselves in Christ and He in us when we come boldly under the throne of grace. It happens on the inside. It's not something that you just get the words right. It's an attitude of heart, a revelation of truth that God gives to us. I can come boldly to the throne of grace because I am right now a son of God and He is my Father. And then confidence. Oh, the confidence that Jesus had in His Father. I know you always hear me. We can have the same confidence and the intimacy. Oh, the love. Study the 17th chapter of John and apply the love that Jesus prayed for to our own lives. This is how Jesus came to His Father. And we too must come unto my Father in the same way. Finally, in verse 17, giving thanks to the God and the Father by Him. This once again tells us it's the life of Christ. The life of Christ is the motivation for all of these admonitions. When that life reigns supreme in us, we will be able to accomplish all of these things that Paul has mentioned here. We can, whatsoever, in word or deed, we can do all of it in the name of Jesus because we are motivated by the life of the Son of God in our own hearts. Verse 23. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. The word heartily, it's actually out of the heart. It literally means from the soul or the spirit. The Greek word is psuche, spirit. And so it signifies, it means from the heart or the innermost being. This means it is not superficial. It is not just something outward on the surface to be observed by men. It must come from the heart. I often say it this way. It must be the truth in our lives, whether anybody else is around or not. This is where we live our lives, is before God. Whether others may approve, disapprove, it doesn't make any difference. Paul said in one place to the Corinthians, I judge not mine own self. What did he mean? He said, I find nothing against myself. But he said, that is not important. It is God's view. And so our lives before God, what is important here. So it's not superficial. It's not sporadic. I like to say it this way. It must become a way of life. This is the way we are day after day after day, just exactly as Christ was. And when we do these things in Jesus' name, that is exactly what will be true of us. We will be motivated entirely, a way of life motivated by Christ Jesus. I want to close with a verse from Peter, 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. This is somewhat of a summation of what we have seen in these verses here in Ephesians and in Colossians. 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord. And so Peter tells us the same thing. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. He's not telling us to go around just quoting scripture to everybody all day long. But what he is doing is telling us that our lives must comply with scripture all day, every day. We must be motivated by the word of God. We must have the control that God's word sets upon us as we minister to others, as we speak to others. No matter the word or the deed, it is still the same principle. If a man speak, let him speak of the oracles of God. If any man minister, that is, the deeds that the Apostle Paul talked about. If any man minister, let him do it how? As of the ability which God gives. And what a blessing it is to us when we know that we have absolutely nothing except God has given it to us. Well, if God has given it to us, how can we glory in it as though we did it ourselves? It's impossible. It's a matter again of inward attitude and knowledge before me and my Father that He hath done all of this. And it is of the God, the, rather, let him do it as the ability which God gives. And then, that God may in all things be glorified. Isn't that exactly what Jesus did? That the Father would be glorified in the Son? The glory must be given unto God. And so, God in all things may be glorified. But again, through Jesus Christ, to whom he be given, be praise and dominion forever and ever. The fact of the matter is this. I'll leave you with this thought. God is always glorified when Jesus is revealed. Now apply that to my life. God will be glorified every time when Jesus is revealed in my experience. So whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus.